Welcome to another episode of Daughters of Mormonism. I'm your host, Sybil. Today, Julianne will be sharing a talk she gave about the temple. There will be a second podcast where we discuss the aftermath of her talk. Hello, Julianne.
Hi, Sybil. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's such a pleasure. I first found your talk because Sarah, another of our panelists, showed me your blog, and I read your talk, and I was absolutely astonished at what a brave and beautiful talk you gave. I would really love for you to be able to read this and share it with others.
I would love to.
Will you tell us just a little bit about the context of your talk, being assigned to speak about the temple, and how you felt about it, how you prepared for the talk?
Sure. My husband and I, we moved to a new ward with our four daughters at the end of January. And as is often customary, the bishop just asked us to speak in sacrament meetings so the ward could get to know us a little bit better. And so the bishop just called us into his office one Sunday and invited us to speak. And I was excited. I was happy that he asked us to talk. And I really liked what I'd seen of the ward so far, and I'd heard some really interesting people speak, and I'd enjoyed going to Sunday school and Relief Society, so I was excited. However, the bishop said that our topic would be temples, and I froze. My husband gave me that uh-oh look, and he knew that that probably would be an issue for me because we had talked about my feelings about the temple. However, you know, we didn't say that to the bishop. We just kind of exchanged some glances, and then the bishop looked at my husband and said, "No, Brother McLean, we will let your wife speak first, all right?" And I was just thinking, hello, I'm sitting right here. But that was that, and I was just kind of worried about having to talk about temple, so I didn't really say anything. And so we accepted the invitation, and I totally procrastinated preparing my talk throughout most of the week. I was just contemplating the whole week, you know, should I call the bishop and back out of talking, or should I ask for a different topic? I considered giving a really superficial talk copied from some general authority, but I just ended up feeling that I should talk, and that it may not have been a coincidence that I was asked to speak on this exact topic. And so I just decided to simply speak about my experiences with the temple and the questions that I had. So it was not a doctrinal talk at all, because I felt that I could neither bear testimony of the doctrine nor deny those doctrines, but I simply wanted to share how those doctrines had affected me in my daily life. So I went to church with knots in my stomach. I hadn't met many people there, and I knew that in a way I would probably out myself as one of those people. But I still went and gave my talk.
So how did you feel when you were standing at the pulpit to give your talk?
I wanted to run away. I was shaking. I was nervous. But I always feel like that before I bear my testimony. And then this overwhelming sense that I just need to get it out just takes over. And so, you know, I was definitely nervous. I was shaking. My voice was kind of cracking, but I just felt like I needed to say what I had to say.
So you were really coming from a place of truth when you gave your talk.
Yes, it was what was in my heart. I tried to be as respectful as I could and as loving as I could without pretending something that I wasn't, or pretending that I believed something that I didn't. And that was really hard because the topic of temples is so sacred to so many members of the church that I was scared that I would offend people. So I prayed before I wrote my talk, and I felt that it came from my heart and that it was loving and respectful, and that it truly was how I felt about it.
Wonderful. That's a very good preface. Should we move into your talk now?
You just want me to go ahead?
Yeah.
Brothers and sisters, usually I just use keywords on note cards for a talk, but today I wrote up my whole talk for the first time in my life because I am so nervous about this topic. When the bishop asked Tori and me to speak in sacrament meeting, I was excited. When he told us that the topic was temples, my heart sank a little bit. The temple for me personally is a difficult subject, especially speaking about it to a congregation. I'm confused as to what is appropriate to talk about and what isn't. Most talks that I've heard about temples and sacrament meetings and instruction I've received in a temple prep class before getting married were vague at best. I understand that temple worship is sacred, and so I hope that I can do this topic justice by speaking respectfully. However, I also believe we must talk about our real and personal concerns with temple worship. Because of the very sacred nature of temple worship, there aren't any official church materials about what actually goes on in the temple. Unfortunately, other anti-Mormon sources have made such information widely accessible. I wish there was a time and place where faithful members could discuss concerns about temple worship with each other without feeling like they are trespassing. While I understand the sensitivity of the subject, I also feel that I wasn't adequately prepared to go to the temple because I wasn't given any real information as to what was to happen in the temple. Thus, my first temple experience wasn't a particularly good one. I went to take out my endowments only a few weeks before I was to be married. Often, brides and grooms or missionaries will not even have those few weeks, but instead go through the temple the day of or the day before they get married or go on a mission. This created a lot of pressure for me personally. Even though there is an option to withdraw from the endowment ceremony, it is but a very short window of time to decide for a young woman or man sitting in a filled ordinance room, possibly with the eyes of a large number of family and friends on them. I remember that moment and feeling a surge of panic because A, it scared me about what would happen next that maybe I wasn't ready for, and B, I knew I had to go through with it, whether or not I was ready, if I wanted to be sealed to the man I loved a few weeks later. I have personally never heard of anyone who actually got up and left at that point in the ceremony. I'm sure it has happened before, and I'm grateful that the option is there. However, I don't know how effective it is because of the immense pressure I felt on my first temple visit. That's why I feel it would have helped me to get more detailed information about temple ordinances before going for the first time. Being the only member of the church in my family, my wedding day was somewhat lonely. My father was beside himself, not being allowed to walk me down the aisle on my wedding day, feeling excluded and disrespected by the church. I didn't understand it then, but I do now. I feel very sad that I hurt my father so badly by getting married in a place that wouldn't allow him in. My mother tried to be supportive and didn't show her pain as openly, but it was hard for her as well. My brother was the only member of my family present on my wedding day, but even he had to sit in a waiting room while I was getting married. In the sealing room, I felt happy to be married to Tori, but I also felt very alone and sad that my family couldn't share this special time with me. My husband's family sat behind him, making a united front. There was no one behind me. I was on the other side of that altar all by myself. It was a visual burned in my memory that I had made a choice for my faith and against my family. I used to think that I was noble for doing so, but I have since changed my mind. I feel that for our church being so family-centered, the current policies about temple weddings are ineffective and often drive deep wedges between family members, whether they be temple-worthy or unworthy members or non-members. If I could have a do-over, I would definitely make a different choice. I would first get married civilly, wherever and however I wanted, in a place that all my family and friends and all of Tori's family and friends could attend. Only then I would have gotten sealed in the temple. Unfortunately, the church presently doesn't seem to support non-member and part-member families when it comes to weddings. If you choose to get married either civilly or in the chapel by your bishop first, so that all your family and friends can attend, you will have to wait a year to get sealed in the temple. I don't understand this policy, and to me, it seems as if it is some sort of punishment for not getting married in the temple only. Added unto that is the social stigma that comes with not getting married in the temple first. Too many of us quickly assume that the couple in question must be guilty of some sexual transgression that forces them to have an inferior civil or church wedding. And while I understand that the importance placed on an eternal sealing over a union for life only, I don't understand why couples are pressured into a temple wedding with the one-year penalty. I don't want my girls to go through the same pressure and heartbreak I went through leading up to my wedding. They might get married and they might not. They might choose a church member or another good person to spend their life with. They might choose a temple sealing or a civil wedding. I want them to know that I will love them and support them regardless of the choices they make. Honestly, I don't know where to go with my questions about temple covenants. I tried talking to my bishop, and my stake president in our previous ward and stake, and the stake president finally told me he couldn't discuss my questions outside of the temple since he deemed it inappropriate. I love that stake president. He's a very kind man, and I know he sincerely wanted to help me, but he couldn't because he wasn't allowed to address my concerns. Would be to go to the temple and speak with the temple president, since such questions should only be discussed inside the temple. I really try to respect his sentiment, but you can all probably tell that I'm frustrated as well. We haven't had the money or time to make a trip to the temple, and quite frankly, I don't see why I should drive to Spokane, Washington in order to receive a response that maybe won't answer my questions either. I know there might be people who think I simply don't have enough faith, or I'm not willing to make sacrifices in order to attend the temple, and therefore don't deserve to get an answer either. I realize that even if I can't go to the temple or speak with the temple president, there are things I can do at home. I can pray and read my scriptures in hopes to find answers. However, I'm sad and confused about the fact that technically, the church forbids me to even talk to my own husband about these concerns outside of the celestial room. And if you've been to the temple, you know that you don't have unlimited time in the celestial room and that it might not be the place for a long, drawn-out discussions of doctrinal questions. I always thought that the temple ordinances performed today are the same as in the early church days. Since I am a convert, it took me a while to catch on with many church-related things, and I was quite surprised to find out that the temple ceremonies had been changed numerous times. You more mature members who have been attending the temple for decades know some of these changes firsthand. Even I, having attended the temple for the first time in 2004, have witnessed changes that were made only 6 years ago in 2005. Because we believe in continuing revelation, it makes sense to me that even the temple ordinances aren't exempt from being changed or adapted to new revelation coming to the prophet. I have wondered, however, what exactly are the parts of the temple ordinances that are deemed absolutely necessary and are indeed exempt from changes, and whether social and political pressure on the church has something to do with the more recent changes. Even the requirements to receive a temple recommend have changed since the church was first established. Obeying the word of wisdom and the law of tithing, for example, have not always been required to enter the temple, but have been added to the temple recommend interviews later on. All things considered, I love seeing the temples. They are so gorgeous, lit up at night. I love the beauty of them, the quiet and the stillness. I love the hushed voices, the smiles, the respect, and the reverence. I'm in awe of the sacrifice that went into building those architectural masterpieces, the blood, the sweat and tears, the time, money and effort, the hopes and faith of all who gave everything to have a temple close by. I know there are many who love the temples, who find solace, peace, joy and hope inside, and who revel in doing temple work for others, and who have an unshakable testimony of its truths. I do not wish to disrespect you. I don't want to diminish the communion you find with God in that sacred place. However, I cannot bring myself to pretend that I feel the same way about the temples. I have struggled with temple worship, and I am seeking answers from a loving God who understands my questioning spirit. I want to know why the similarities between Masonic rites and temple rites. I want to know why women exercise their priesthood in the temple initiatories, but aren't allowed to do so outside of the temples. I want to know why my husband covenants with God, but I covenant with my husband, putting a middleman between me and God, and the implications this has on equality of men and women in the church. I want to know why the church condemns polygamy, but at the same time will seal multiple women to one man, if not with the intent of having members live polygamy in the celestial kingdom. While sometimes it would be easier to simply disregard my concerns and not worry about such things, I cannot do it. If I have offended any of you, please accept my sincere apologies. My intent is not to hurt feelings. I know there must be some of you here who can relate to my feelings and who might have been scared to admit it to anyone for fear of being called a doubting Thomas. While we do need to be respectful in talking about the temple, I believe we also need to be able to share our true feelings with each other without fear of judgment. I have wondered whether or not there is a place for me in this church, even with all the questions I have. I'm not sure. What I hold on to is the memory of kneeling at the altar across from Tori on my wedding day. I was looking into his eyes and started crying because this feeling came into my heart that we would be together forever. I hold on to this moment when times are hard and my questions stay unanswered. I have hope that I will make peace with my concerns, answers to my questions, and I wish the same for you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
That's such a beautiful talk. Thank you so much for sharing it.
You're welcome. I thought I would get through it without crying, but I guess not. It is a tender subject, and it is close to my heart. A lot of people have come up to me afterwards and said, you know, you felt the spirit in the temple, and I still feel the spirit when I talk about that moment that I had with my husband in the temple. However, I kind of disagree with the people saying, well, because you felt the spirit at that moment, that means it must all be true and you just shouldn't worry about it. Because I feel this is the man I love. That was my wedding day. I was all by myself. I was happy to be married him, but I was also sad I was all by myself. And it was a really emotional time. And now I'm thinking, well, of course I was crying. Of course I felt really connected to him. Of course it was special. I see it in a little bit different context now. I'm not saying I didn't feel the spirit, but what I'm saying is I probably would have felt that same spirit no matter where we would have gotten married. And I still would have felt that we'd be together forever, because that's just what my belief is, regardless of whether we were married in the temple or not. And that's hard for other people to understand who think that in the temple is the only place. Only if you're sealed, it means that you get to be with your loved ones forever. I just don't believe that.
Yes. Let's wrap this one up and we will do a second recording where we discuss your history with the church and how you converted and the aftermath of this talk.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Daughters of Mormonism. I invite you to respond at daughtersofmormonism.blogspot.com. If you have ideas for future episodes, I'd love to hear about them. Thanks to Kevin McLeod for the music.